this morning. Can we cope with some statistics? Okay, we're going to have some statistics. So here we go. First off, one that came out this last week. This is it. A survey found this, that when asked, do you think that the vote should be taken away from pensioners, is that word there, pensioners, on matters such as Brexit or a referendum on independence? What do you think? Well, this is what 16 to 34-year-olds who were surveyed thought of this. The idea that pensioners should not be able to vote on matters like that, 47% said yeah, they should lose the vote. Well, there are a fair few, perhaps, among us here thinking, that means me. But of course, I look at you there, and I'm sure you'll shake your heads if you're in that age bracket, and even if you're not, you say, well, oh, that's not me. That's not me. Good. I don't think it actually is. But that's 47% of 16 to 34-year-olds out there are looking at, well, we won't name any names in our company this morning, but would say, well, you can't have a vote. If it's about Brexit or a referendum about independence, you can't have a vote. You're taking away my future. It's not your future. You won't be there to have to live with the consequences of it. So that's your vote gone. Right. That's your first stat. Next statistic. This was a survey conducted in 2018. And it found this. Okay. Trying to be precise with this. 16 to 29-year-olds. So kind of roughly the same age group, all right? Roughly the same age group. Here in the United Kingdom, this was a sort of Europe-wide survey. And it asked the question, are you religious or not religious? Well, 70%, right? 70% of 16 to 29-year-olds said, not religious, not religious. And of course, the secularists and the atheists say, oh, there we are, you see, there we go. In fact, a further survey also found, well, whatever this might mean, that only 1% of young people said that they were Church of England, if that was a guide to what true spirituality is. But anyway, very, very few. There's your second statistic there. More to come, all right? Hold, stay with it, stay with it. So, further surveys done of students this time that in universities, should we have a no-platforming policy? So there are people, their views are beyond the pale, never, never, never will they be invited to come and to speak. And if anybody should try to invite such people, we'll protest, we'll get them banned, we'll get them thrown out. National Union of Students did their survey, 2016, they did this one, found this, 63% of students said absolutely, we want a no-platforming policy. So if there are certain people who come, they're out the door, they don't even get an invite. A further statistic, this is your last one. Breathe a sigh of relief. This is your last one. And it goes like this. Further to that, no platforming. Right. So what sort of people would we no platform? What sort of views would we think, that's beyond the pale? So it's students, again, right? So what we're talking here, 18 to 25, say, something like that. Well, they found this. 48% said this. If a speaker comes here, we will ban him or her if they say this, that if a person believes, no, they're a man, but they believe they're a woman, and the speaker says, no, 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 they should be banned. So unless they are willing to say that somebody born with what goes with being a man, but now believes he's a woman, that if a speaker comes and says, no, no, no to that, 48% say ban them. They should not be allowed to speak. Now, those are some statistics. And again, I'm looking at you there, and you're probably shaking, well, that's not me. Good, that's not you. But it's an awful lot of the young people that you might be coming into contact with. It's got to be, hasn't it? The statistics there, well, statistics, if I can say the word, they tell their own story, and sometimes you can tell quite a plausible lie with statistics. Right, we get that. But it's still telling us this, and we could have drawn on other surveys that tell us that's what's going on in the thinking of a lot of people out there, people that you meet or will be meeting, or are you're going to come into that age group of the 16 to whatever's there. And that's the kind of view you're going to meet with a lot of the time. That's a question I ask myself. Well, what can I do about that? Or a question to put to you. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to interact with young people your age or coming into your age who have those points of view? And if we say that these kind of attitudes are getting bigger and bigger as time goes on, I guess that's the fact. They are. Sort of religion drops, non-religious, atheism more cool, as it were, particularly in this culture, our culture. What are you going to do? How are you going to speak to young people who have those views? Views that really have not been views that this country has hosted very much at all over centuries, but which are now mainstream. Because what's it saying? I think it's saying quite a few things, and we can only really be quite sort of quick and quite superficial on it. But it's suggesting this. Not saying it's you, and you can say, well, that's me thinking that. Good. But there's others who are. That we know best. We know what's best for our future, and those who've lived a long time just don't know what's best for the future. And so if they're making a decision, actually thinking about us, when they vote for this, that, or the other, they got it wrong. They don't know. They don't know as well as we know. But there's one thing we do know, there's no God. So that's quite a strong opinion that's held there. And we also know, well, transgender or whatever else, that's right. Everybody says it's wrong, is wrong, and must be no platform. That's just his opinionation. And I suggest that opinionation is next door to bigotry. It is actually a bigoted generation that is growing up in our midst. And you have a challenge to reach that generation. And the best way to reach them, I suggest, is this. Ask them questions. Ask questions. How did you get to that point of view? Do you realise the implications of that point of view? Where will you draw the line in terms of who you're going to think is okay and who isn't? And come to that. Why are you so sure there's no God? What evidence do you have for that? How did you come to that point of view? So you don't go, what do you mean they're going to take the vote away from my granddad or something like that? No. But you want to go and challenge politely and gently and intelligently, and draw people out. Do you ever think to do that? How are you going to reach them? Do you ever think, in the first place, well, let's reach them, because they're there, and they're there in abundance. And those are the points of view that a lot of them, obviously from these statistics, a lot of them are holding. Do you care about that? Do you care about them? Do you think about them and how you might ask them questions? How did you get to that point of view? What have you read? Or rather, what haven't you read? Have you ever read this? Have you ever thought about that? And just to introduce a little difficulty into their worldview. Actually, where they're taking this thing sounds pretty totalitarian and pretty drastic. And there were bigotries thrown around like confetti at people like us. But actually, this sounds pretty bigoted. This sounds pretty down on it there when you don't really have the evidence from your point of view. That's what bigotry is. It's an opinion held when there's no evidence really there for the holding of it. Strongly held view against other people, whatever, when it's just no evidence for that point of view. They have evidence for no God. So think about how you might try to reach your generation. And these statistics are telling us something about that generation and how you might be able to be salt and light for them. Our next hymn, 123, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, 123.